get with SMA stuff like that. And as indicated, the purpose is just to give you an update. It's terms of how far we are with the 2008 regulations themselves. And you'll notice that for members to recall that the minister is empowered in terms of Section 32 to make these regulations. But again, Section 32 also specific in terms of if the regulations apply to application for an payment of land to ensure that the minister can obtain concurrence from the Minister of Finance. I think it's also important to indicate that the regulations that are in force right now are 2005 regulations, which the Department of Insects have updated for comment. But on the 19th of March, just Webster announced that those regulations were in fact not for public comment, but they should be enforced. And the issue at that time, and I think it's an issue that perhaps Access would also want to pick up on, was the whole provision around alternative identification and so on. And so I think we'll deal with it at a later point, but it was just to give a background to say these are the regulations that are currently in force right now, and the 2008 regulations will then be repealing some of the 2005 regulations. And we have extensively consulted with our partners, we consulted with SASA, we consulted with SEDRALI to begin to ensure that we can have a comprehensive set of regulations that we can also publish. And so what I'm going to present here is basically the amendment to the regulations themselves. I'm not giving clause by clause section, just to give a highlight of the main important changes into the current regulations. What we've done, there was an issue around the salary rate of Israel, and Federal has argued that the way we have framed the provision itself, it was beginning to, for them, they saw it as something like a basic income grant. They thought that there are many loopholes within the SRD that it's an open-ended. And we then agreed that perhaps we needed to just revamp without taking the principle, revamp that section to ensure that the conditions will then be along the lines of the procedure manual in terms of the social liability of this plan. And again, regulation 14, what we've done was to also ensure that in terms of the extension of the social relief of this itself, the review processes and so on can also be done by any other person, because currently the regulations that refer to social workers only there, and there have been challenges in terms of social workers being able to carry out the investigations and so on. And so on. And so now it can be any other person in an office, from SASA, also be doing that. What we also incorporated is the whole issue around the permanent residents to ensure that they can also have access to social access, and then it flows from the proper America itself. And again, what we do there is the regulation, you will recall the Sarasarini Meta, which is guided through a center with a group of disabled refugees. And there was also that a call for us to say that we needed to also ensure that we can provide social assistance to those disabled refugees. And so we have also taken this into consideration.
Yeah. Under the category of issues related with the right? Find the things you're saying.
that movement. Alright? And once you're done with that movement, the way to be led through a process of making a new relationship. Alright? And whoever is going to do that is going to have to be and into the regulation patient without just starting a new. And I'm not even sure what when the mention of changes on what. Because you mentioned the regulations of 2005, our understanding is that the same court record decision written that goes that those regulations have changed. As far as we're concerned, we understood those regulations to be working so in terms of finalizing the point that effectively those regulations were going to be taking over from another set of regulations to take the second court. Now I think we should avoid doing the attempt this type of change, but I'm not sure changes from what from the regulations. So let's just get address on the standard policy issue that this group that was available. So I'll give you time to conclude your overview, touching on the key scenarios of policy reform or whatever you want to address on. And then we'll go to the regulations. If time allows, we can then get an update on the litigation and the other issues which we have already agreed to the regulation for in our previous engagement. Can I just clarify if the country is comfortable with that approach and if members are comfortable or if you want to just tell me in the last minute before we proceed?
No, that should be fine. I think I can be able to identify in part of the area.
So please proceed, give us an overview, conclude, and then let's get
Okay, in terms of the key policy area, I think in this regulation, what's important is dealing, as indicated, with some of, litigation issues, but also to deal with issues around alternative identification. Cases that at this point in time we can be able to allow anyone to bring the court and the government as a form of an alternative identification. There's been an issue of ensuring that permanent residents can also have access to social assistance. The other policy changes relate to the mental health to ensure that we are able to adapt to the new test to ensure that more people can come onto the system itself. And of course, the extension of the tier of the health support grant, which is not really just a minor change in terms of the regulation, but in terms of the policy, is quite important. But to also tighten up on the policy on the social relief of this itself. Because the way it was worded in the current regulation, it then created problems in terms of administration, in terms of it was open ended that anyone can then be able to approve the decree. And so we're beginning to tighten up on some of those. I think those are the key policy areas that are in this presentation. And I think that maybe
you want to elaborate on each one of those.
Sorry?
You want to elaborate on each of those pieces. Let's take, for example, the cost action that impacts on some of the changes in the regulation. Alternative forms of identification, for example.
our view is that we will see or will accept alternative identification. And we have discussed this with SASA itself, and SASA is also in a position at this point, and I think from the 1st of June, they have implemented this call for the press, so that whoever comes with any alternative form of identification, as long as it is not affidavit from the commissioner of court and so on, it should be accepted. And so they have adjusted the proceedings and prepared the guidelines to ensure that this becomes implementable. And so this is
the new alternative form of identification of product. The effect of your report to the court.
For the current run, the current regulations provide that the provides that we make a distinction between whether a census is in the rural area or a census is in the urban area and so on. And so for this current regulation, we are in fact eliminating or removing that distinction because it's also very difficult from an administration point of view to implement that. But what we also do in census is that we are inserting a formula that will ensure that as the value of the grant increases, the income threshold also increases, so as to keep up with any changes in the cost of living and so on. For example, if the grant value is 210 right now, therefore it means the mean test will be 10 times the grant value itself, and therefore the mean test will be about 2,100 a month. Which has been an increase from 800 and 1,100 in the previous regulation when they were making a distinction between urban and the rural area. And so that's another fundamental thing. And what we also do in CSS is we are also, in terms of the care dependency grant, we are also raising the income threshold. Currently, the income threshold is at 48,000 and has been remaining like that for over a couple of years. And we have changed it from 4,000 rand per month to 9,400 per month. And so that's another change that we are also making. But again, the grant, the threshold will also increase as the value of the grant increases. If the value becomes, say, currently 940, if it becomes 1,000, the threshold will also move up instead of remaining stagnant, which has been the previous approach. In terms of current grants, again, we are saying that the current provision says that we need to take into consideration the income of the child for the purposes of the foster care and the care dependency grant. And we are proposing that, in fact, the income of the child should not be taken into consideration when we are applying the means test itself. In terms of adult grants, we have in fact changed the formula. These are annexes. There are annexes A, B, and D. We have changed the formula to ensure that we are able to raise the income exclusion for the adult grant from 1,900 to 2,200 right now, so as to ensure that more people can also be able to qualify. But we are also taking the asset care to which you put your property and so on, taking into consideration the fact that the property market has increased over time. We thought it's also prudent to also make changes into the asset care. And so that increases currently from 738,000 to 450,000. But even if you go to most of the counties, the four rooms now, their value have increased quite a lot. And so if we don't adapt or if we don't take into consideration some of those changes, it means that when somebody applies, therefore, we may say if your property is worth this much in terms of the regulations you don't apply. And so we have also made some of those changes. In terms of the changes around the mean test itself, by changing the mean test and the removal of the urban rural distinction, we hope that the number of child grants will grow from 8.2 million to 9.2 million. And of course, the extension will also bring about 1.1 million additional children. Whereas the changes in terms of the adult grants, in particular your own age, they are not huge. It's just 1%, that's probably about 22% on the current existing levels of about 2.2 million. in terms of the time frame that we are looking at probably in the regulation by beginning or the second week of July. And so that's when we study how far I can go.
All right, I'm going to allow members to ask general questions, quick questions in relation to the control of the and then we'll go into the next. I think before we go through the right way,
when I do this next week, I was not really thought of income. And I think you must go back and do more research on this particular issue. Because what we are thinking now is totally, and I think it's totally unacceptable.
Really, when it comes to this thing of being left by a husband or having built for parents a bigger house before, then when it comes, you know, there are so many disadvantages when it comes to old age. One, as I'm working, my husband cannot get an old age pension. That's why it's number one. Two, if I was working, let's say I was a teacher of a nurse, as I retire, I don't get the old age pension. But my money has been put out of my pay all along. But someone who has been sick and not working, but who still gets compensation, well, see now, who was working from you? Unless we are saying, really, okay, and then the third one, Captain, is just one care of the house. That one is our own asset. Because the bigger your house is, the more expensive it is in that house. Okay, suppose you can see a small house, the expense is not so small. So I think some of these things have to be revisited. They need to be revisited. That's unfair. Democracy for everybody. Forever. Even give us a donut also. Now why exclude us when we get old, where we cannot maintain ourselves anymore? Right now I can maintain myself. To give me advice, don't tell me what I can say. But the minute I leave working, and the older you become, it's the more expensive for to get someone to care for me, and for someone to clean the house for me, and for somebody to get somebody to do the washing for me. All the things that I've been doing myself, I was going to get someone to do it for me. That needs more money.
Thank you, Ken. My first question has happened to do with relation to the test that my colleague has already said. I don't believe it's the correct route to say if you check my mean test, you also involve my power. The law says clearly that each case is handled according to its merit. Why should you include somebody maybe will get divorced? When I'm going to apply, you're going to say, go and look for the one you have already divorced. Maybe staying with Inga in heaven. My second question is with regard to requirement for grants with relation to the affidavit. The Auditor General Chairperson in one of the recommendations of the audit outcome Chairperson, he stated clearly that the untrained police are performing the judges the function Chairperson. Now, if the department is going to rely on the untrained police, the chance for litigation Chairperson are very serious. The question of unnecessary litigation. Chairperson, according to the government, Chairperson, all the litigation are supposed to be handled by the state attorney. The department is not this social development alone, all the departments, they have the tendency of engaging consultants. And then, when they engage the consultant, the very same budget we have budgeted for the grant, they are going to take it and pay the litigation. Meanwhile, the state attorneys, they've got the budget from Parliament to perform all the litigation. Now you can see the disadvantage the government is going to do. With the question of the rural and urban, I'm happy, Chairperson, if the department are going to take this room chairperson. If the municipality from the provinces, especially those who are in the deep rural, before they serious concern chairperson because of lack of guidelines. Most of municipalities chairperson, any social development platform which operates under municipality. There is a difference between SAFA officials working under municipality and SAFA officials working in the magistrate's office. Those who are working at municipality level, chairperson, the granny like Lana, when he's staying with his children, his grandchildren, chairperson, when he made the application for a grant, they are going to say, go and look for the mother of these children. Granny Lana going to get that person? When you go to the magistrate, those officials working under the magistrate of the court guideline, they will never do that and ask you to go and look for the father of your granddaughter. They will just process the form. Now that we are going to get a single regulation from head office, it's going to address these challenges, Chairperson. Lastly, the question of asset cap, Chairperson. My colleagues have already alluded to this item, Chairperson. This one, Chairperson, also is not the correct way to follow, because there are many challenges affecting this asset cap. I married the daughter of Comrade Solo, which is yours. I get a court order to say, don't put your foot there. Yes. But the very same department, they are going to say, consider the very same house which I am not allowed to go and put my foot there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think our topic meeting today, Chairperson, will be not special data. I will not care if I can take just right. Because examination we must all be working now, and depend on God. My daughter gets a child, she's about 18 years and she has two. After getting a child, when I sent her to go and apply for a grant, they say you're granny. An MP. Your mother is an MP. That child is left in school. I'm left with the little girl. That little girl doesn't get a grant because the girl is not my child. It's not my child, it's just a friend. I think that one must be clarified. I don't get children anymore. Now, why not get a child support grant for somebody with that children? So, at the present moment, my last daughter is in I was able to get a 3-year-old daughter. She's not getting a grant because I'm an MP. What is all that? Thank you. I need clarification on that one because I need it. When she comes to holiday this year, I'm going to do the whole thing with her, and it's not going to be nice.
All right. The department can respond. I also have a letter that comes from one of the MPs who says that this old lady was sent a letter that said that she must come for review of her grant. And the complaint is that when she arrived in time, on the date that she was told to get there, she was told that they can only deal with 100 people that day, and that she, I suppose, is number 101, so they can't deal with her. She has to come back again. But generally, the whole issue of the way in which people get treated, having to queue
ask ourselves the question, if it was me having to present myself because my employer wants to review my pay and have to stand in the cold, icing cold morning on a winter day, would I regard that as the employer? So I think we need to look at the human side of the service. But, yeah, I understand Mr. McCoy wants to respond, and then I'm also going to ask to the director or the chief director. No, no. Chief director. I'm going to give the chief director to respond to the issue, but after him, I'm also going to invite the chief director legal services to just clarify the court judgment and the implication. All right.
Thanks very much, Chair Tatsun, and the members of the committee. I think there are two issues, Chair Tatsun, which will need guidance from the committee. But the first issue, Chair Tatsun, is that there are policy issues which are under discussion in government. Like the comprehensive social security, the ministers and so on. There are also policy issues that have been legislated in terms of the Social Assistance Act of 2004, of which we are discussing those regulations. My sense, Chair, is that if we mix the two, we are not going to be addressing how the Social Assistance Act, which is this committee passed and parliament passed, how that Social Assistance Act getting operationalized through the regulation. And my sense, if we don't do that and follow systematically as a whole, we won't do justice to the regulations which need to be promulgated as soon as possible. So that's a comment I wanted to make, Chairman, because if we go on the mental issues, we do know that there are discussions that are taking place. What Cabinet has decided to do is to open up the scope in the interim, so that more people can come in before even the discussions are finalized by the committee dealing with comprehensive social security. I don't think there is any more that the chief director can provide in terms of that aspect. That's the issue, Chair. I just wanted us to get some clarity in terms of our policy.
But can I say that what I say, the CEO report, it's kind of a message that this politician are under opinion, that we as parliament are not party to killing those, and therefore that's the representative of the voice of the people on the ground. We have the legitimate right to raise so that you control this government. As far as we concern, we all part of government. We're not part of government. We part of we have the independence of the government. All right? It's this line that we might have. All right? But as the voice of the people, we reserve the right to be able to say this kind of concern that the people face. And you people in government, how do we plan to respond to it? Right? If there are particular policies that currently apply, we need to be able to make the right allocation. We can't simply tell us the government policy. That's not the issue. We must be able to explain the right allocation on those government policies. But let me give you the opportunity.
Thanks very much. I think certainly, you know, we do acknowledge that there are problems in terms of the way the minister is structured in this country. And we have in fact conducted a study also last
which also shows how the mean health can impact limit access to the social grants themselves. One of the proposals was that we needed to also remove the mean health, for example, for the child support grant. And if we had removed the mean health for the child support grant, it means that the figure at that time, that last year, it would have costed the state around 6 billion rand. And there was also a proposal to say this is to the comprehensive social security to say that we need to universalize the old age grant so that we have that pillar one or pillar zero of the basic pension in this country. And so these are some of the discussions that we are, as you indicated, that we are also engaging in trying to ensure that there's synergy between the retirement reform or social insurance aspect and also the social assistance aspect of it. But we do take cognizance of the fact that the mental health impact may not be an appropriate way of targeting the group that we also want to help. In terms of the costing, that is the costing of what we have provided here, we did the costing, and federally has made funds available for that. For example, okay, yeah, but we have in fact done the costing around that. In terms of the identification services, how we came about.
When you say you have done costing, does that mean that treasury is
yes, remember the regulation can only be promulgated in concurrent with the Minister of Finance. And if they compare, not yet, but we have already, the Minister has already asked for concurrence from the Minister of Finance, and so that will be okay from now and probably by end of July. And so this issue that we're talking about, we have extensively consulted with the Treasury, and they have looked at the financial implications, and they are going to make funding available for that. And so this is not an unfunded mandate. In terms of the identification and so on, I will just give my colleague to just give you a background on that.
And just to conclude that one, so basically, the incumbent has not yet received a letter from Treasury that says this regulation, from a financial point of view, has been approved, and you can go ahead and so on. And
that's the case. But we don't foresee any difficulties because we've been waiting.
Yeah, no way. Thank you.
now, this is the test. And people are here to hear things. And the minute you take care of how they will help you to work, sometimes this is a lot like I have done that about, but it's still going to be the test. Now, you know, there is no time. Because there is a need to be in some way. I don't know how I can say it. It's you.
No, I think that maybe going forward, one of the things that we may want to do is that some of the policies are under, but also given the fact that some of the policies currently operate, and obviously there's a rationale to any policy, all right, that some of these policies so that people can understand what are the subjects. For example, I can explain why the concept of a primary objective as a recipient of the House of Commons was because I was involved back then in the passing of the necessary law to introduce that. Right. So some of the things can be explained, and the attachment is the principal of the issue. So if you have answers to explain what the rational basis of the particular problem is, I can't see, you can't have the back of treasury. It's not treasury that drives wealth and politics. They approve the financial. So social development must be able to vouch for an account of more economy. And that's what we have to do. It's impossible because the sound of the tech continent is competing with our voices. I don't know what to say for the application of the can we just finish another point and then we get back? Because remember, they have not yet finished the second time of the photo.
Perhaps we will go ahead and make part of whatever. But I will we'll come back to that.
Thank you, Chair. There are a number of questions which you have posed, and I'm going to try and respond to them. The first one that I
The question asked as to why we take into account the assets of the spouse. That has the origin in the common law, that the spouse has got the duty to maintain each other. So there's no way we can have disregard the fact that they have one spouse for their income. And say, let's disregard it. That's where the origin of taking such an income into account when determining whether or not a person will meet the limit. But it is not necessarily that all the income is taken into account, for example. There would be exceptions where, in terms of an extra aid to the regulation, if a spouse has been deserted, or if a wife has been deserted by the spouse, and after a 3 month period, the income of that spouse would be disregarded for the purposes of the limitation. So it's not that you would be forced to wait you for a person, especially when this person is unwilling and unable to maintain, to then disregard the income. But it cannot be that you just disregard it regardless of the fact that this person is able to maintain and for the need to maintain. In
I'm not talking about a spouseless relative. I'm talking about a dead one who lives in the house.
I think he'll answer that specific one as well. He was answering one question. The next question that he'll obviously have to answer is taking into account the management buyer of the property.
Okay, sir, I'm not quite sure I understood your question, but in terms of the Regulation 94, in respect of the order.
Well, you answered one question, you can answer this
one. I'm hoping I'm moving to the next question, sir. In terms of the Regulation 94, in 94, in respect of the order, spouse are staying in a property, a movable property, and when they are staying in that property, you would then disregard it for purposes of assets. You're not going to take it into your account because they are using it to stay in that property. But the only time that you would take into account is when they do not stay in it, because they actually derive some income from that property. So I'm not sure whether I answered maybe I'm answering the question.
I think one of the difficulties that arises is that officials on the ground may not be as educated in understanding the law as they should. And that may be one challenge that we may have to look at a way of addressing that challenge. I would imagine that it sits in each of where 7% were applicants. You have one, I don't know how many offices that you have, you have one person who is thoroughly trained and grounded in understanding this law, so that if people are not happy with the way they can go to that office, and that person will be able to say, without even having to go through the lengthy process of appeal, say that the official report of the African law is incorrect. And in fact, it could be a matter of every African food association that we plan. Automatically, we respect that. Just to make sure that the ground of the application was planned, even before the African goes on the field, that they were the different ones at least. So I think that those are some of the practical things that could help with the right to speed to act for the function of the But please proceed to respond to the other question.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The other question was around the identification. Now, in terms of the regulations, there are basically about two types of identification, or no, three types of identification that are required. First thing, the identification.
Can we get one question because you are going to need it now?
Okay.
Yeah.
The first type of identity is identity document. In some instances, it requires a medical certificate. But where the medical relationship is a matter of consideration, then they have to produce a proof of spousal relationship. Those are, as a general rule, the required forms of identity. But there's an exception where the agency may then accept authentic forms of identity. That would be in the form of a source statement or an affidavit. But the agency, I'm talking about the agency of the government, would then have to describe the form in which either a source statement or an affidavit must be used. So there is an acceptance that an authentic form of identification would be accepted by the agency. But if there are exceptions, not that generally and this requirement also of an authentic form of identity also comes from the access method where the court can be made a ruling to say you need to accept an authentic form of identity. And all the departments and the agency have started the process of ensuring that they will set up a process for setting up clearly the requirements for accepting and so authentic form of identity. Chairperson, you also said I need to deal with some of the judgments that may have affected the policy decision. The first one was also around the permanent residence. Previously, permanent residence did not qualify for any form of social assistance or social crime. But as a result of the court amendment, the court made a decision that permanent residence must also be individual for social crime. So that has been factored into the regulation. The other matter that I asked was judgment that was of relevance to this regulation to the issue of disabled refugees. And we also made a necessary change in terms of the criteria that we saw that disabled refugees do qualify if they meet the requirements. Also, Morano Chair asked a question around how we manage the situation in terms of us or government departments outsourcing the litigation. In terms of who's going to review the litigation, you are suggesting that you are actually not due to the office of the state that came about using consulting. Actually, what we are doing as a department is that, especially cut across all government departments, we have to be the office of the state that came. Who would intend brief senior counsel? Currently, we are using private advocates because we are not necessarily employed by the state. But the Department of Justice is in the process of setting up an office where they will employ advocates on the full-time basis for the Department of Justice, who will then represent the Department of State in the country. But there will still be exceptions where we may not have sufficient to be the Department of Justice. All government departments in all the litigation. But we are in fact using the office of the state that we are not going to private activity. And I think the question that was also indicated was that we are then using the money that is meant for social assistance to pay our payment. But it's a city needs to people are close to the office of the state that pay. Each government department will still have to pay. The federal payment will pay on behalf of all the different government departments, Department of Justice, they will get claims from different departments, but they are going to pay for it. So we still have to buy the department that is going to pass up for the mitigation cost.
Okay, Mr. McQuarrie, you also wanted to come on the
without signing documents is a total of 176 since the 1st of June. grass is typically a weekend of coming in from over the whole country. And just in the breakdown of the grass type, we've seen 51, which is in grass for older persons, 8 for grass for disabled, 88 child support grants, 9 foster child grants, and 14 care dependency grants. And around our children's grant, a total of 146 children have been included in the 100
that have been placed. Thank you, Chair. But for now, it doesn't seem to be a mammoth kind of work, but we kind of see that people get to know that they can be useful to my partner. And I assume that dealing with this up and down. You have worked closely with Home Affairs, because my understanding is that Home Affairs could not take another diet from just about anything. Because we all come to the ocean, everything is common heritage. So you are just going to become weak commissioners of all the years. You should be on top of it and be able to let somebody in the market. Otherwise, you open. And I can understand the court and to say that people's lives should not be held back because of inefficient sex. But I can't imagine the court to say that they are open a floodgate from all sorts of but Mr. McKenna will give the final input and we will enter the tea break. And then we're going to have input from after. And then the next round of questions, that will then include questions. I've worked all my life and so on. I'm getting
about targeting mechanisms, especially when you look at the Lindstedt one. It's not only a unique South African debate, it's an international debate that goes on. What is the best way of isolating people who should qualify for the system and who shouldn't qualify for the system? Do we give to everybody and close back to the tax system without penalizing, or do you actually try to target those you want to target and be deliberate about what the measurements that you want to use? There is no, from both literature and application, there is no definitive measure that is done. But what we are saying in our context, which is a South African context, is that there needs to be a review how that can apply. Whether you open up the Lindstedt threshold such that it doesn't become an impediment to the lower end or the income distribution. And that's a decision that has been taken by cabinet to say, let's open up the income threshold and see what are the unintended consequences of that adjustment that are going to be. That's why the Lindstedt now is really up to a very high level. And what cabinet is saying, let's start, because we don't know whether suddenly this is going to be a 1 billion intervention or 6 billion intervention. And the whole issue is that over time, if this doesn't have that, and if the default prediction is correct, then you can do away with the test and throw it on other forms. So all I'm saying that it's an issue under discussion, and people are looking at the various limitations that can work and be supportive of the very people that the state or society wants to support. Thanks very much, Chairman.
Yeah, we're going to go for the but can I just indicate that earlier this year, the department hosted an international conference on comprehensive social security. And I think those that were able to attend were able to benefit from understanding in greater depth some of the high-level policy issues and debates. But I think we should also explore a situation where, as the portfolio committee, we could be exposed further to debate and deliberation around the policy issues of choice that have to be made in the future. We're going to take, I have a few requests of that nature. You have to leave. Yes. All right. In the interest of fairness, just know that the tea is running cold. I'll allow such honorable findings of this, because he made the request first, and then I'll come back to you. And those would just be the opportunity for you. Let me start with honorable findings.
I have a question to Sasa, because in all my speeches in Parliament, I have mentioned the research done by ACCESS, mainly dealing with undocumented children, and I'm concerned about being there when they make their presentation. How does Sasa, and the answer we had from the Minister was that we as parliamentarians could assist and document and assist in documentation. What I want to know, how are you assisting undocumented children? And by undocumented children, I mean there is no home affairs that can do anything for them. I'm talking about orphans. Please, yes, this is a burning question.
And remembering that part of what we wanted to do is to make sure
documents they need, because they don't need them only to access grants. They need them for school, they need them for everything else that they want to do. So the liaison with Home Affairs is incredibly important. There is a process that Home Affairs has to be able to register these children, even late registration, even orphans where there is no history. It's a very onerous one, but certainly we're working with Home Affairs, because at the end of the day, we do want to get the documents. In the interim, we are making sure that the primary caregivers can get the grant for the children with the biggest financial support. We are, some of the ways that we're trying to manage the risks involved there, because we're concerned that people would come forward with children who don't exist, or duplicate children that they have and then say they don't have documents and so on. So we are, on a random basis, also doing home visits and speaking with neighbours, with community leaders and so on, because it's the only way we're going to be able to get it, if the community leadership also is in this process. Thank you, Chair.
On that note, we're going to have a 10-minute break and then get the 20-minute presentation.
We have only 40 minutes left to finish our business. I'm going to immediately ask AXIS to present their case to us. I don't know if it is a written document that they can fix it in, but let's not waste any more time. AXIS, over to you.
Okay.
No, we said we'll take a round after some time. Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'd like to thank the Chair and the Portfolio Committee and other officials represented yesterday tonight for the opportunity to speak really briefly to the draft regulation that has been submitted to the Portfolio Committee today. If I speak fast, please feel free, I'm going to get caught up in the run. My name is Patricia Martin, and I'm the Director of ASIC, but ASIC is in the minds of the Overcome with mental organizations. Some of those mental organizations are here with us today, and they are going to be asking questions that they might be better equipped to answer for the sake of informed decision making. Please allow me to refer the questions to them. We have a number of points around the draft regulation. One of the points of concern, and perhaps this opens up as an introductory comment for us, is that I see the proposed date for promulgation is 1 July. That is soon. and that raises questions about the notice and comment procedure that is going to be followed around these draft regulations. And that's quite important for us, because there's a number of points that are raised, or a number of clauses in the regulation which potentially introduce complications, are inconsistent with previous positions taken, and introduce what's very important for us, another potential inconsistency. And at times, I think we're having on the half of the question is exercise and the complications that are possibly coming along with that. I will talk to some of the issues more specifically as I go along. Just by way of example, one of the inconsistencies, just on a very pure wording basis, which has a huge impact at a practical level, is that the regulation refers to an affidavit and a sworn statement. What is the difference between the two? An affidavit is a sworn statement. So automatically you're introduced a situation where an official asks, but this is not a sworn statement, it's an affidavit. So that kind of difficulty causes huge backlogs, and people having to come back with returns on money that they do not have the fact is there. And just by way of introducing the first concern that we have, which relates to the regulation specifically dealing with the acceptance of alternative forms of identification. Earlier on, I heard some concerns about the potential risk involved and the fact that there is a possibility of abuse and that there aren't things in place around it. All I can say is that we are extremely pleased to see these provisions in place, because ultimately, the bigger risk for those extremely vulnerable children who form the exceptional case who have been excluded from the system And when I was looking at the statistics that Kansas was coming up with, it doesn't seem to have open floodgates, but it is allowing in those most vulnerable. And just on this point, it is those most vulnerable who do not even have the money to go and apply to home affairs, who are now being brought in. And I'm very pleased also to hear that home affairs and social justice are working together on this. But just a point that was important for us as well is that it's in that working relationship. A real eye can be kept out for those who do not have the money to make applications at home affairs. The system is being put into place to identify those people. Because those are the most vulnerable of all. So it's not those who necessarily have the proof of home affairs application. And ultimately, I think the biggest factor for us is that all of those things around the increased trust, which is really what is at the end of the day, should fall away, because ultimately we all want to see those provisions fall away when home affairs is working properly. I mean, ultimately, if you're there, your children's birth rate is also ID documents out there. So I think the success or failure or moving away from this particular situation of recipients on home affairs getting on board. Let's just talk about specific provisions around the alternative forms of identification. The 2005 regulations were confirmed or ordered by the court very recently to be a cause and effect. The 2005 regulations made provision for accepting alternative forms of identification versus specific ID documents of such kind. Those 2005 regulations had come to quite a long policy and consultation process to come out of very clearly and carefully thought out regulations in the 2005 regulations. Which read in the clause 26 of the 2005 regulation, it meant that the agency may accept alternative proof of any of the documents required in terms of sub-regulation 1 and 5, including, where applicable, a statement made by the applicant under oath. If you read clause 11 in the amended regulation, it's changed. And it's very perplexing to us as to why it's changed. It doesn't give effect to the fourth order necessarily, and it introduces a whole lot of difficulties. If you look at clause 11, it reads as follows. The following original documents or certified copies must accompany an application for a social grant. An ID document of the applicant. In the case of a child support grant, a care dependency grant or a foster child grant, an ID document or a valid birth certificate of each child. In respect of whom an application for the grant has been made. And then C, proof of spousal relationship status. Immediately after that, it says, provided that if no valid proof is obtainable, a sworn statement or an affidavit in a format which might by the agency may be accepted. Clause 11 one is okay, you know, with respect. The discretion on the agency official to accept alternative proof in respect of spousal relationship and identity for purposes of applying for social security is not really word. The word proof in your wider clause links up with the word in the spousal relationship but doesn't tie in as a clause. So on the immediate reading, it looks like that what you need proof of spousal relationship. Once again, you kind of think, okay, well, you know, the grand scheme of things, what is the issue? But in the implementation of this, it introduces a whole scope for arbitrary application of that discretion. And introducing a lot more requirements than are necessary. So, if we look at the original 14.6, it was much clearer. It was simple, it was straightforward, it was easy to apply. So, Aspect's position is that the wording of clause 10.6 in the 2005 regulation is far more thorough. So, what we are really recommending is, and also given that it went into consultation process, and it is the regulation that the court relates to, keep it also, it works. Then, clause 11.1 also says that a sworn statement or an affidavit, which is in a format required by the agency, may be accepted.
I'm not sure if I understood what
the 2005 regulation is more general than its application, and it applies to all of the documentation. It one provision that applies to all the requirements 1 to 5. And it says that the agency may accept alternative proof of any document requiring sub-regulation 1 to 5, including where applicable the statements made by the applicant under oath. Clause 11.1, on the other hand, talks about original documents or certified copies in relation to the identity document and the case of the transport grant. So you have the documentation referring to those grants and those documentation specifically. Then the last requirement is proof of spousal relationship. And when you look at the alternate identity provision, it says, provided that it's no valid proof is obtainable, proof is only used in relation to spousal relationship. In relation to the other documents, we talk about, you know, documents with certified copies. There's no written to proof. So it's simply on a reading, if you look at the court quite carefully, it simply looks at the only document that will be accepted as an alternate document in relation to spousal relationship is very arbitrary. Okay. Does everybody understand that? And also, this is just of the agency's discretion to decide what form that affidavit should take. That is something that we were talking about, the dangers of discretion earlier on. If that discretion is not something that is agreed on in terms of what the format of the statement is, you could have a number of agency options requiring different standards. Now, we have seen the Department of Social Development Plan and the Department of Plan for implementation of this, which is really clear and really good, I think it's really good. And it doesn't seem that that level of detail in those plans is coming through these regulations, or the clarity in those plans is coming through these regulations. They seem to have been developed outside of each other. Those plans seem to have been developed in response to the 2005 regulations, and they work. Okay, we can check where I'm on. And then, as I said, just with regard to the format defined by the agency, in fact, even allowing the agency to determine that might be off the area of the powers of the agency, it's not something that we have looked into, but it's something that might be the legal officers to look into. So those are the primary concerns that we had just around the wording of that, because, I mean, the whole idea of introducing this provision for alternative forms of agency was to do away with the difficulties and the barriers that were being faced, and the wording of it is not barriers. That is on that one. Then there's a point which comes up in relation to the regulations, which might not be an immediately obvious point, but is very, very important as far as we are concerned. We know that the Department of Social Development has committed itself to rolling out the grant, transport grant to children up to the age of 18. Now, if we look at 6.4 of the draft regulation, we see a shift in emphasis away from that positive commitment that we've seen up until now to almost a negative capping that comes in. I'll read it to you. It says, with effect from 1 January 2009, a child support grant may not be awarded to a child older than 15. I just refer you to the old regulation, which is very much more positive and spoke to the law as it is, as law as it ought not to be. Sorry, okay. The old regulation is the child in respect of whom the grant is made must be, as at such a date, under the age of 14, or of such high age as the ministry may determine. There is a shift here. We believe that this shift may very well lead to an interpretation of limiting the minister's discretion to roll out the grant. The wording of 2005 is preferable, although the date in 2005 is problematic. What we've seen here, as I said, is an emphasis on the negative, which is not in line with the growing positive sentiment which has been coming through the Department of Social Development, responding to the democratic voice, which has called for the extension of CFG up to 18. We would urge the committee, this word is critical, to take this up to reclaim that space, to carry on being responsive to that democratic voice. We have seen it at the ANC resolution level, we've seen it at constitutional level. Unconstitutional, there's an obligation. We can't get away from it. And what seems to be happening is all the litigation that is going on and the sporadic little puffs of policy making that is happening. The question of expanding social security as a holistic carefully decided or in consideration. We, you know, the problem with social development is asked to exist, help with one thing. That has been the thing about the problem with social development, that's the state of treasury. And what we are saying is we've seen the commitment by the Department of Social Development, commitment by the Minister to announcing the extension, and a very concrete step for us would be see a revision of the wording of the regulation to put that power down. But then also to have some kind of clear indication as to what's planned for a mining development step. It really has all of the key agenda. Then, very, very briefly, we wanted to speak to the introduction of the new system. And you have to say, congratulations, fantastic. It is a decade late, but well timed. And, you know, in regards to this, any anxiety about this, as Macaulay was earlier speaking about targeting, I mean, the new system really is about targeting. It's identifying who has sufficient means or insufficient means and needs that help. The fact that it hasn't been adopted for 10 years means that it's an inaccurate assessment of the situation on the ground. So we really are very, very pleased to have seen some new steps come along. And I don't know how much I need to go into in terms of detail, but you know, the fact that it's doubled is reflective of the time period. And once again, you know, our data seems to indicate that this is not going to open the floodgates. But once again, this is the most marginalized who have been kicked out by the systemic barriers. So, yes, that is my presentation. And if there are any questions, I'm pleased to field them, but they might be asked about some of my questions. Thank you.
Oh, all right. I think we will allow members to ask questions of clarity to ask them. And let's deal with that first, and then we're going to ask the department to respond to the issues that are happening, right? And of course, if they want clarity on some of the issues, right? Right? But also, if there's some other issues that you remember, want to. So, members, we can ask to ask them. Thank you. I'll come to you, Mr. Weber. Let me first start on the board. Thank you.
one of the biggest challenges we have to I have no doubt in terms of the laws that we write and intentions that are okay, but we're not implementing what we are doing. And that's not within that part of our social research. It's a national problem that we write the best laws with the best intentions, but we don't have, or we don't see the laws. And this I'm saying with all, I mean, SASA has made a lot of changes in certain areas. One of the biggest frustrations I am with them at the moment is consistency. The service isn't consistent. And once again, it's those that need the service most that find themselves in a tight corner. You get excellent service in every area, you get very bad service in your area. And that's once again, I remember when SASA was participating in one of my that every area tends to get everything at the snap of the finger, just like that. Can we invest and then prioritize geographic location? Because rural people consistently get second class service. And that's what even with the main community. They have done a lot of changes with people, and I've seen certain areas where people have been upgraded. But once again, it's where it is expected to be upgraded. It's not like out of the ordinary. And for an agency that has the state of the art, you expect them to sort of like give you the wow factor in a meeting with the community. The second point is understanding what this morning is very interesting because it's the turnaround time as well. Because for me, it's not just about the grant, it's also about the turnaround time. And to a certain extent, let me say, what, 60% is our giving response. But 40% is once again for those that need that turnaround time alone, that don't want to give it. It's us. But it's not that way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's expected to be like working in a routine. You know, you know, you can get your grant 2 days, but then everything is done. Why? Because you just turn around to go to social media. You don't get it done from to where you live or in Kabbalah where we went or a Jordan. No, you don't get those people that still have to go 250 km to get a home affairs office and everything. That still remains. Why don't we do the things that are going on? Prioritize movement. I might need to support the issue of the project because sometimes we spend time arguing with officials or something that's written there, but the chief director, legal services are there, but the officials are not always. I've interacted with officials now and remind them of their own regulations, and only then in sort of. But that's a sensitive question. So maybe we should, and say you should, maybe even for members, even for people who have to get their communication units to develop very simple. I've seen the counseling that we developed, but maybe we need the same counseling, but more on the regulation. Because the counseling explains the time for the process. Maybe we need. Am I saying something wrong?
Can we have one?
Everything. So maybe if we just go get them and it's there on the same, and it has made
come out. So if we could have the same thing developed for the regulations, once we see it then, we develop those templates, and I said this year, parliamentary constituency offices are all over the country, located even in areas where such a data has occurred. Why don't we use them? To use this information. Why don't we just, so that we can then reach the very people that we are able to reach, and we can have this ongoing communication. That's my humble request. My last one is that I would still prefer the 2005 clause together. Yes. Look, actually, 11-8, yeah. The one I'm considering, I also think the 2005 one is better made for. And I read most of the minutes. I think of them. Thank you. All right.
Well, we know your voice from this day, so
I've got a problem with this. Probably my vocal cords not correspond very well.
Yeah.
I thought to agree with this presentation by. Appreciating their contribution, I am of the viewpoint that these issues were published before they were presented here in this GIS platform. I wonder if they indeed participate in that process. I would like to hear from them. There was an issue that was raised by actors around targeting and mean testing. These are good concepts in one of the ways. What do they actually mean for really still has to explain? I think when the CEO was talking and I agree with him, you cannot have a general understanding that of the universal provision of the system. I think in the other country that they must remember where they're coming from. I don't know if those questions there, but I am not. I think we need to look at this testing for what it means. Because the data is repeated, the targeting aspect is very important. We really know where the poor are, who really do it. And I think the regulation is looking for the strategic aspect, particularly in collaboration. I think that the data is going to sound its thing. That's what targeting means. And in the informal setting, that's what targeting means. And you might say, you may not be very far. Nobody knows who you are, nobody knows where. So that's not what you mean. I think that the question is
we have better
names. Anyway, I want to hear more from Axel or AC. Yeah. So that we are clear about this matter, all of us. The other, I support them with regard to quite a number of causes that they are trying to propose. And I support them. Except to say, I wonder if it is part of that concept, and I think they must be using the open source strategy. I don't think the way they use it is good. It's an intention of what you want to achieve in the society. And finally, you raised the question of capital in the community. I think Papa did look at that aspect. It's not just an open thing for everybody. It might have something that is accessibility that we can with confidence.
I just want to add one thing, and I think this is a debate that I believe in children.
not sure if I agree with them on what they are proposing, because at the moment the same is right? I'm correct. That's what you say.
Thank you.
acknowledge our Western countries. Sometimes it's different countries, sometimes Western in terms of economy, sometimes in terms of social welfare. Look, we acquire first world countries, you know. That's how it works. So this organization is really, to what extent that they are putting the process. Indeed, they are going to the old FDA. Here is the staff of the world who would really like to see the effectiveness of the staff of the world. We would like to see them. Indeed, I actually want to see them in there. In this part. I think they will have come to the heart of us now. We need to do that. By putting the name, what is it that they would like to see in the course of their work in cooperation in this situation? I think that's good for next level of work. Very hard of my duty, that's very important. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. I just wanted to also add a few questions to both of the departments and actors. The first one relates to the issue of disability. We are on record as telling I that the history of a new definition of disability has been left out in the last amendment to the social act, because we saw that the injustice that would be called for public hearing to the amendment, so we have delayed the passing of that amendment. But in the meantime, I think it's useful to get a sense as to how the department administer the grant so far as criteria of assessment to qualify for disability. And I think in terms of definition, you simply have done away with those assessments and let us believe that it is correct. Obviously, based on that whole area about the feminine disability. Now, this issue of alternative forms of identification, I just want to understand how the court is the court specifically indicate what forms of alternative documentation the regulations must provide for, or alternatively, did it provide certain guidelines for how arriving at what is the appropriate form of alternative documentation is performed? My understanding of what happens in formal sets, for example, is that they don't just require they want somebody to bar that I know see them grow up. I know that they belong to the company, place that they or they are born at the place where they claim to be. And therefore, I personally can vouch to say that this person now, I don't know whether that kind of undoubtedness or it's simply an undoubtedness to the fact that this person claims under oath that they are undoubtedness and that they are born. And
Yeah.
fact hire a health minister by right? And the idea was to create the minimum by the minister that not have to come back and increase the right? I don't know what you guys mean about this thing of coming with new approaches of drugs and not taking account of the original behind the original form in which it's like the regulation that I don't know why this regulation may not get advanced. Such a weird way of talking, you know? And the whole idea in terms of the sense of the constitution, just for the blessed realization of life, not the ritual blessed approach that, you know, it may be technically correct, but it's not human, you're also living with the issue of sense. So I suppose we're going to have to read between the lines in our conduct because we can trust your drafting. I think some of the drafting is a bit difficult. We really need a lot of confidence to draft. But I'm worried about time. We have to do one little thing, and there are things to be passed and give ourselves.
Now, then, I hear what I'm saying, but it's not around one thing, but it's not a cut up now, it's a thing that people are moving to do it. That's it. Very different.
We are currently developing a proceed among us.
clearly outlined the steps to be followed by the issue of the child. Right after the hearing that night. And the issue of the child will be given in the course of the life to McNeil. And that's not the part of the guy. If someone comes to the office, one has one for this child to be accepted throughout the family, irrespective of when. Certainly, there's a project that we are currently developing called New and New Time. It's going to be available to all levels of the family.
And what will that cost? Will it be saying to the commissioner of the law, please state your knowledge of this work? Or will it simply say to the person himself, take who you are, and let the commissioner of home, you know, testify that what you have said is true. Because I can go and ask the commissioner of home. The commissioner of home says, well, I don't know, but I don't think it's not true. But all I'm doing is to find that he's not what he's getting is true. And it's the fact that I'm coming to a
into the amendment to the social assistance and
Can we quickly, can you tell us what the big
the proviso that comes at the end of clause 11.1 applies to both 11.1A, B, and C. I think what we put here is that at the end of the column, at the end of subclause C, is the column that might not be a proviso, but the proviso applies to both A, B, and C, all types of identification. So if you don't have any of those identity documents, then the agent can then accept. On the issue around on the 64, on the age of qualification for a child support grant, we cannot repeat, if you look at the principal act, what it said about the 2005 regulation, repeated what the act said. And actually, when you're going to come up with anything, you are supposed to now make a specific provision and say, when child support can qualify, if you are for this age. Because the act provides for the minister to be able to, can actually indicate that people of a particular age will also qualify from time to time. So there's no point in us repeating the case, so we're going to provide it for you that system. So, can you also ask the question as to whether
what we're saying is that why do you put it in the negative? Why wasn't there the better form of the lady as opposed to the one that adopted? That says the minister may not. Because you see, it opens another channel. I'll tell you what the channel is. Is that it actually reinforces what is fallen. In application one, it's the subject of litigation house. It comes across as saying that currently, unless you have regulation, that regulation, if you fix the fact, it means that you are liable to pay until 18. But then, if you are then limiting children below the age of 18 from accessing the trust in the regulation, the further question is it constitutional for you to actually limit a right in the principal in the regulation? Yeah, let me just finish the point. Because that's the second thing in the Constitution that you can limit the rights of the local government to regulate in situations where the regulation might also not be in sync with the principle. So that's why some of the issues seem to be raised, maybe not in the exact, but at least in clarify.
I think basically, the definition of a child, I don't think we need to use the definition of a child in that text to tell them we need to qualify for a child of a child. Because the Constitution is very clear that these rights have to be realized and progressive. So the fact that it's reference to the age of 18 in the text itself does not mean, I mean, and later they make reference to 15 years of anything, does not mean they are limiting the right. We are actually trying to realize the progressive. We are saying up to this stage, we are able to afford up to this, to the children who are under the age of 16, but cannot go beyond this. And I think that's how I understood it. The Act itself is also allowing the minister, for the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, from time to time to increase the age. Maybe I don't know where to put it. But one side is an indicator currently, this is the age on which we qualify for child support grant.
So I'm not sure whether it's in any way that can be the right configuration thing.
So I'm saying I'm going to assume some of
point has been made, I think
this way, yeah.
Yeah.
Come better this way.
Yeah.
But,